Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
On today's episode, we have Christina Scalera. If you've ever complained that you love what you do, but you hate the business side of things, then Christina is the person for you. Her mission as a lawyer for creative entrepreneurs is to help them fulfill their life's work by creating beautiful businesses from the inside out. She provides the creative world with accessible and affordable legal solutions. Whether you need the last-minute contract template that covers your butt, or a painless trademark registration, or you want to learn more about how to empower yourself to run your business well, legally speaking, Christina has got you covered.
Thank you for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're talking to Christina Scalera, and I'm so excited that you're here. Hi, yes. Christina.
Hey, guys.
I am so excited that I got to meet you recently at the Savvy Experience.
That awesome. Was a real treat, yeah.
And to get everything started, we like to ask, what was your kickstart moment?
Oh, gosh. As far as what?
Like, what got you started in being... being an entrepreneur?
Oh gosh. I think there wasn't one kickstart moment per se, but I remember being at my desk and I had just graduated from law school. I was waiting to take the bar and studying. And I mean, even then I was like, oh my gosh, I could start a jewelry business. I could start a consulting business. I could do this. I could do that. I had all these ideas for different businesses and I didn't know which way to go, right? Like so many of us were like, which way do we go? I want to do all the things and try to do everything. And that was really hard. It didn't work.
So what helped you to weed out all the wrong things?
That's such a great question. It was really a long and hard process because when I first started, obviously, like I said, I tried to do everything. I tried to have a blog. I tried to teach yoga. I thought I was going to do calligraphy. I was a professionally trained floral designer. So I like really thought I would do everything. And then on top of that, obviously, I'd taken the bar. I was practicing law and working in-house at the time. And, you know, trying to do all that on top of a full-time job was a lot. Eventually, I ended up quitting that because I took the leap of faith and into entrepreneurship and thought that I had a friend who was a very successful private yoga teacher in Washington, D.C., and she later became a mentor. Anyway, she basically had coached me on the path to entrepreneurship. She was featured in Chris Guillebeau's book, The $100 Startup, and had a whole method and system. And I tried to follow her method and system, and it worked, but it wasn't, the yoga business was not the business for me. That was ultimately not what I was called to do. That was ultimately not what I was really good at because I'm a very direct, very black and white person. And I feel like teaching yoga was very fluid and you need a lot of on the spot thinking. And that's just not me. I'm very analytical and I like to think things over and, you know, have a definite yes or no black and white answer. After I took that leap of faith after my full-time job, started that blog, started that yoga business, realized that I didn't actually like commuting around town in traffic and teaching people yoga. That didn't really, I felt like it wasn't really a good fit for me. So that's when I started blogging more heavily and started to try to get into passive income products, which is the most deceiving name you've ever heard for a product. I work harder on my passive income products than I do on anything else. So, but I did. I mean, I started to get into that. And as I was there, the Rising Tide Society just kind of happened to form in that time. Things were really happening in the creative world. Creative at Heart was coming out. So that was a big conference that everybody was taking part in. There were a lot of other conferences that were really smaller, but celebrated just as much. And so I just was kind of finding out about all of these different things, all of these big conferences, all of these, you know, the wedding MBA, all these different things, and looking into how I could get involved with some of them. And the answer was not much because nobody knew who I was. I wasn't blogging for anybody, but, you know, did go to a Tuesdays Together meetup. The Savvy Business Owners Group, actually, speaking of which, was also incredibly helpful. I have the biggest foot and mouth story with that, too. When it comes to Heather Crabtree, I always tell her, I'm like, I have foot and mouth disease. It's awful. I always end up putting my foot in my mouth. And so Same kind of thing. When I was doing this yoga thing, teaching, blogging, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. Like, how was I going to actually monetize this? Because this is getting really desperate. And I realized that people really like to read about business stuff and legal stuff. And that was what I knew. So I started writing about that. And one day I jumped into Heather's group and I just asked, I was like, hey, this legal stuff is fine. Like, I'm a lawyer, whatever. Like, do you guys have questions? And that was the wrong thing to ask, first of all, because one, like, I don't know. I was so laissez-faire about it. It was like, what is wrong with you, Christina, in hindsight? But, you know, the other thing was that everybody had questions. And so that was the first little tip off to, oh, wow, this could be a thing. Like, this could be a niche that I help people in. And then the second thing that happened was I went to a Tuesdays Together meeting last October, and it just happened to be the first one I could go to, and it was about legal stuff. And so I sat there in the corner for a while, and I was listening to everybody talk, and I was like, I'm not going to out myself. Like, I'm going to do the private yoga thing. It's going to happen. I'm going to be a blogger. And I just was listening to, like, the misinformation happening, and I was like, oh, I just have to speak up and say something. So I did, and I outed myself as an attorney. And then once that happened, everybody had questions. And I was like, oh, it's this and that, the other thing. And so long story short, those two instances combined with, speaking of retreats, I went to Loom last year, Bonnie Bakhtiari's retreat. Those three things really were the impetus into what I do now, which is practice law for creative entrepreneurs. That was a really long story, but that's how I got to where I am today.
I really like that you said that. And I find it really interesting. So the day that we're recording this, a minisode comes out where I talk about finding your tribe, and I talk all about, you know, savvy group and savvy experience. And then we just spoke with Raina, who talks about Heather and the savvy group. And then you bring it up. And I think it just speaks volumes.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, if you haven't gotten it yet, you need to go check out this group if you haven't. because it's for all of us. Have found our people, have found guidance and support and everything. And I love that. But I love hearing how you went on quite the journey from all the things to weeding out things to really finally giving in to where your expertise actually lies, and not sticking with one thing because that's what you felt you had to do, but really listening when you felt called to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I hung on for a while, though. Like, you're giving me more credit than I deserve. I mean, I really hung on to that like dying yoga blog that I had. It was awful. Like, I think I just deleted it in July. I'm not kidding.
It's hard to let go. It's okay. This is showing everybody else out there who's hanging on to something that's dying. It's okay to go for what you're called for and not to hang on to that anymore. It's okay to let it go. Sometimes you have to. And I really appreciate you saying that, because I think it's something people need to hear. Because imagine if you had that person who said, it's okay, let it go.
No, it seriously. So I'm a huge nerd and I love economics. Like, I just nerd out over behavioral economics specifically. And in economics, specifically this behavioral economics that I'm talking about, there's a theory called the sunk cost theory. And it basically, I mean, I'm not going to do it justice right now because my brain is like kind of fried right now. But basically the way that it goes is that once you have paid money or put time into something, that's a sunk cost. It's gone. You're never getting it back. It's done. And so it doesn't matter if you cut it off now or you cut it off 6 months from now. Whatever you put into it at this point is gone already. So it's better it's actually, even though it feels like when we've been waiting in line, you know, for 20 minutes, we're like, oh, if we just stay in line for another 20 minutes, we'll be there. In actuality, you actually, you know, if it's a 40-minute wait, you get that 20 minutes back to do whatever you want with it. And so it's the same thing here. It's like, you know, if you've been working on a blog that's failing miserably for 2 years, that's gone. That's done with. You can't get that back. And so, you know, you can cut it off now and get the next year of your life back to do whatever you want, or you can keep going for another year and have a blog that didn't work after 3 years instead of two. So yeah, I think people hang on to stuff for way too long. And I know why. I mean, emotionally, it's like you're talking about, Samantha, emotionally, it's hard to let go of stuff. It's hard to admit that something isn't working or that it failed. But at the same time, it's a sunk cost, guys. You just got to let it go.
So where do you pull inspiration from? Where do you look to find that guidance that pushes you in the direction that you're going now?
Oh, gosh, that's a big question. Yeah, so as far as inspiration, I feel like my best creative moments come from when I put myself purposefully in nature, which sounds really hokey pokey, but what I mean is like getting out for a walk. I live in the middle of Atlanta, so it's not like I'm like in nature. Like I'm in nature, like honk, honk, beep, beep. Like there's stuff around me. But I mean, just being outside is really helpful. And, you know, giving yourself, even if it's not a walk, like if you hate being outside or whatever, you have allergies, just giving yourself the permission to have that 20 minutes a day to do whatever you want, think about whatever you want, nap, whatever you need to recharge your brain and your energy is so crucial for finding creative bursts of success.
Yeah. And it's allowing yourself to actually bring joy back into not just your business, but your personal life, and really getting you out of the business aspect so that you're not head down all the time, because that's when burnout's going to happen. And that's when regret is going to start seeping in because you don't necessarily allow yourself the time to recharge.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, Raina, you probably talked to her about this, but she calls it white space. So whatever your white space is, you have to go and find that. You know, sometimes I have my guilty pleasure is like going to Anthropology and like walking around or just, you know, going for these walks around my neighborhood. I feel really bad sometimes. And I have to remind myself that this is the person that people want to work with. And if I get too far into my business, too far into a book, too far into, you know, like nose deep into it, I'm no longer that person that people want to work with, because mm-hmm. I'm not myself anymore. So you have to allow yourself those opportunities.
Yeah. And you don't have to, I mean, just like you said, your space is to go to Anthropology or walk around your neighborhood. You don't have to go buy things. You can just go look at the things that give you joy, that you're passionate about, that just make you happy. And immediately the energy that's been depleted through working on your business is immediately filled back up again because you actually got out.
Yeah, definitely, Nicole.
So I would like to know, what are some of the values that you bring into your current businesses and kind of goals that you have?
This is a great question as well. It's something that I've been meaning to do for a long time, is formally create a mission statement. I think it's one of the most important, I know, like say what I, or do what I say, not say what I do. I really think a mission statement is one of the most important things you can have in your business. And, you know, just knowing it's going to change. And so, you know, I don't have a formal mission statement right now. I wish I did, you know, with the neat little bow that I could recite off at the drop of a hat. But a lot of the values that I have in my business are the same ones that I find myself using with my clients as well as my team members. So probably the number one thing that I like to have in my business, my team, with my team members or clients or anywhere, is transparency. I love being transparent with people. I think just being a lawyer, most of the things that I see going wrong in business has to do with people that aren't transparent, or some kind of miscommunication or money issue. And I think a lot of it could be avoided if people had the awkward conversations up front, if people just were completely transparent about how they felt or what they wanted, rather than trying to appease someone else or you know, just somehow please anybody that they're working with, whether it's a client or someone in your industry or a peer or someone that you're hiring. And I mean, I'm not perfect. I've made all these mistakes, which is why I love being transparent with people now, because I've been there. I've done that. I've made these mistakes. So transparency, I think vulnerability is a word that's like beaten to death by now, but I like it when people are vulnerable. I like to be vulnerable with my audience. I like to show them that side of me. And it's not because, you know, Brene Brown told me to or whatever, but it is because I remember distinctly being in the position of someone that I would consider my ideal customer client. And people, I felt like, weren't vulnerable with me, or if they were, it was like TMI. And so I try to find a nice balance in there and give people a behind the scenes view of what's happening without, you know, showing them like, I don't know, like the crazy hair I found on my arm or something. So I think those are two of my top values.
Those make perfect sense for you because that's what you embody. Like everything that you put online and everything that you do, if you're not transparent, you're not vulnerable, you're not going to be able to help the people that you really want to help. Because what you're bringing to them is you're actually bringing them protection for themselves and their business. And you preach that on a daily basis. Like you've done Insta stories where you're literally just like, I'm not here so you can have my services. I'm literally just telling you, you need to do this to protect yourself. And it makes you more real. It makes you more human in a world, especially in the law area, where it can get stuffy. So you're kind of breaking down that barrier to be like, no, I'm a real human being too, who just actually really wants to help you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I try, but it's never fun to watch someone get into legal trouble, or it's never fun to watch someone who has a name that I'm like, that's the name of like some XYZ movie, they're probably going to get in trouble for that. So, I mean, I do what I can without, you know, I don't reach out to them directly and say like, hey, your name is probably, but yeah, hopefully the message does come across with love, at least, I hope.
I think it's not even just online, but in person, because I have to say that besides knowing that you were doing a podcast with Raina, until I heard about you two doing a podcast together, I didn't really know much about you or who you were. And so going to Savvy, I had very little information about you, but meeting you in person, you're so down to earth and real and just inviting. I think that that all bleeds into your transparency and vulnerability that you build into your business and into who you are just as a person. And I think it's amazing and it's awesome and it's a breath of fresh air.
You're so sweet, Samantha. Yeah, I don't know. I try to just treat other people like I feel like they would want to be treated. And it's honestly, it's really hard at this point. Not because like I'm a crappy person or something, hopefully not, but because my inbox is just flooded and it makes me really sad at this point because I have to basically give people the emails that I said I would never write, which are like, thanks for writing in. So glad to hear. Bye. You know, it's like, so that's a new challenge that I'm dealing with. But thanks. That's sweet. No, sorry. That's really sweet.
No, I think we all hit a certain point in our business where you get your so much is coming at you that you have to figure out how to deal with it and how to not have the floodgates completely open and crush you. So it's all just growing pains, right? You'll make your way through that and not have to send out those canned responses to everybody. So I want to dive into this a little bit because I'm sure that on this long journey to where you are now, that you encountered this at some point. How do you deal with those days where you have that negative self-talk? How do you get yourself back into a positive?
Those days, you mean every day. So every day I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm going to do this incorrectly. I'm going to do this wrong. I'm going to make a client mad. I'm going to do this or whatever. I just have to remind myself, Christina, you're waking up, you're working from wherever you want, whether it's your office or your house or a coffee shop. You don't have a boss that's telling you they need XYZ at XYZ time. You know, I have to remind myself how lucky I am and how fortunate I am that if I want to go for a walk at 11 o'clock in the morning, if I don't have a meeting, then I can do that. Or if I want to, you know, take a morning off because all I have is like a phone call that I have to be present for, then, you know, that's where I have to remind myself like how lucky I am and that, you know, I'm meant to do this work. And some people have told me, oh, just keep a folder of like the nice things. And, you know, having a podcast now helps because there's reviews that we can go and look at. But I think the biggest way that you can just stay positive, especially if, you know, maybe you haven't worked with people before, which I'm really sensitive to because I have a lot in my courses, I have a lot of people that are learning and they're what I would consider beginning business owners. You know, they're just getting started and, you know, they're in the process of figuring out their LLC or whatever, you know, like getting their contracts in order, whatever the legal things are that they're concerned with as they're getting started. And so, you know, just working with them, I'm really sensitive to the fact that they might not have an audience to fall back on or to support them. And so when I was in that stages, I just remembered that I would try to do things that made me feel good in a physical way because that sounds like really wrong. I'm at like bar class and like yoga and, you know, like getting out there and getting my blood pumping and, you know, just doing something that was physically really good for my body, even if it was hell on earth, because I think just getting out there and getting yourself, like removing yourself from a situation where you have a negative thought pattern is so essential. And I don't know, Nicole, you're the coach here, so maybe you know more about this, but I think if you can remove yourself from any kind of pattern and put yourself in a new pattern, whether that's, you know, walking in somebody else's shoes by volunteering and seeing, you know, like what is it actually like at a homeless shelter or a food bank, or, you know, if you don't have that much time, just going for a run or, you know, doing 10 jumping jacks. I don't know what you have time for, but anytime you can break that thought pattern, go on Pinterest and look at puppies. I don't know, like whatever floats your boat, but breaking that pattern is what's really crucial, whether it comes from yourself and an activity you take or from an audience that you have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has to come from you. Like it has to be something that you enjoy, that you want to do, that actually lights you up and not necessarily gets a fire going in you, but actually just gives you joy to do, to be able to break that negativity that you're kind of either exuding or thinking about, or however it is that you're looking at it. And then from there, just interpreting it in a different way. Like,
yeah, definitely.
How can you see the opportunity here instead of seeing the problem? Instead of seeing the issue, what's the solution that can come out of it? So once you break it, you're able to then see that there's actually good that can happen, even in the sense of negative self-talk. Because if you're always positive, that's unattainable. Like, you can't always be positive. Like,
yeah.
People who are on Insta stories or Snapchat that are always like, oh, it's sunshine, rainbows and puppies. It's not true. We all go through crap. Life ebbs and flows. But it's knowing that there's always going to be a high point that comes from a low point. Talk yourself out of it and figure out ways to get you to see the good and be happy again that will actually get you there faster.
Definitely.
Which makes sense that you're one of those people that you like to go out and get your blood pumping because that's just who you are. Some people might not like that, but they might like sitting and binge watching some TV shows or going out and getting a manicure pedicure or going to buy something for themselves. It truly is like a personal thing that can get you out of the negative self-talk.
Yes, although I would be careful with the TV.
Oh, I know.
Because nerd kicking in, there's so many things I've read where it says it actually doesn't remove you from the situation. It just delays that. So I would encourage people to get outside or pet a dog or talk to a friend because, like, I think there's something innate in like going back 100 years and acting like we were kind of supposed to act, right? Like, we're stuck in front of screens all the time now. But yeah, I would just be careful with TVs though.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could also even be like allowing yourself 30 minutes a day of being completely disconnected from everything.
Yeah, I love that idea.
The negative self-talk also can come from comparing yourself to everything that's out there. So disconnecting for, you know, a couple minutes a day will be way more beneficial for your mindset than continually staring at it.
I agree.
So I love that you are able to get out there and do things for yourself to get you out of that negative self-talk. But what I want to ask, because I know you are so well-versed in this, but if you had one piece of advice for entrepreneurs who are just getting started, what would it be? Well, you can give many, but like one specific one that maybe like plays off of others.
Yeah. I think if I had one piece of advice, and this is coming from someone who is very introverted and used to be shy. I'm not shy anymore, but I used to be shy. And I do think the two are different. I think that you can be introverted and shy or introverted and not shy. But I would say that you need to get out there and make friends and just talk to people. Even if you don't want to, even if you're tired, even if you feel like you have nothing to contribute at this point, I think it's just really important to get out there and talk to people. And I've found, and people have been critical of me when I say this, but I found the easiest way to do that is just to get other people talking about themselves. One, because I'm not really a big fan of talking about myself, and I know myself. I'd rather hear about your life because it's more interesting. I already know what happened in mine. So I like to get other people talking about themselves, and I find that people really like to talk about themselves. So I think it's a good win-win situation where, you know, if you're introverted, you don't have to be exposing yourself or, you know, vulnerable per se, but you can also get out there, meet people, and, you know, have a really great relationship with people that way. That's the number one thing that is going to help you build your business is just getting out there. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic course you can take. There's no magic worksheet or anything like that. It's just really all about the relationships you have because those are the people that are going to be your clients, your customers, or refer clients and customers to you, or podcast listeners, whatever it may be.
And it's doing it in a way that makes you feel comfortable because the second you go into a place of uncomfortability, it can actually bring up those fears. And as an introvert at heart as well, it can actually completely shut you down. I've done it before. I've done things that I've been fearful of and it shut me down. I love the way that you do it is you want to just get to know people.
Like, yeah.
You don't necessarily want to put yourself in that situation where you're like, oh yeah, let's talk about me all the time.
No. And I had a conversation with a mentoring client today and cries when I tell them when I was trying to sell my yoga services and I just started talking about other people. And that was when I actually started to get some traction in my business. I feel like that's not why you should do it, but it does help when you're engaging with people on a personal level because you have that connection there.
Yeah, and it makes them feel special and it actually gives you a little bit more, I don't want to say clout, I don't know what the word is right now, but it lets you remember the special things that maybe they talk about to actually deepen the connection with them.
Yeah, that means so much when you can ask about a kid's birthday, you know, a year from now, they're like, what? How did you know that? I'm like, because you told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any important date that you can remember can always deepen that relationship and it makes them feel good and know that whether or not they did business with you, they made the right decision in having that business relationship or business friendship that you have with them.
Yeah, Yeah, to me, that's the true meaning of community over competition. You know, I'm a big believer in that, obviously. And I think some people have kind of taken it to the extreme and made it like we have to share all our trade secrets and everything that makes our business work. And I don't believe that, but I do believe that it's important to support other people and have them be, like Samantha said, part of your tribe.
Mm-hmm. I actually, as being part of the Boss Mom Academy, teamed up with one of the designers, and we recently launched one of the editor's websites. So the other designer did all the design and then I did the tech stuff. And while I'm a designer as well, when she came back to us for a second round of stuff to get new pages done and new opt-ins, the designer actually came back to me and said, I don't want to step on toes, but I'm going to send a quote for doing the layout and design and everything of the opt-in. Are you okay with that? And I was like, no, you're doing all the design. I'm doing all the tech. It's totally fine. I was like, she just wanted to make sure that, you know, we were good. And I think that's really more what community over competition is about. It's more about almost being like a part of a bigger team. You don't have to like have everybody in on your IP stuff, but you need to be willing to work together.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Constantly try and one up each other on some imaginary totem pole.
Yeah.
It's all about being one. And I love that. And I love that it's such a huge movement, because I feel like when I started business many years ago, that it wasn't that way. Everybody was trying to one up or prove that they were the best, and having this be the type of communities that I'm a part of now has made a huge difference in my business, because everybody's trying to make sure everybody else is seeing success, not necessarily sharing trade secrets, but that they're not trying to push each other down.
Right.
So I would like to know, who are some of your biggest influencers?
Ooh, that's a really good question too. You guys are like right for the heavy hitters. Some of my biggest influencers. Well, it's really funny because I think everything happens for a reason when it happens. Like if I had met Heather Crabtree, I just met her last week, but if I had met Heather Crabtree a year ago, I seriously would have pooped my pants. Like it would have just been awful, you know, and that I tell the story all the time of when I met Bonnie Bakhtiari, who I looked up to for a long time, you know, just loved her to pieces and followed her Instagram. And she was one of the first creative, quote unquote, people I found in the industry. She's a brand stylist and brand designer, if you guys aren't familiar with her. And when I met her for the first time, I was such a mess. I was like, I couldn't even talk. I was like, I didn't know what to say to her, because in my mind, she was the celebrity. And now we talk on a monthly basis. So yeah, she does some mentoring and things like that for me. So, it's just funny. So I would say Bonnie, I would say Heather, I would say, I mean, Raina, obviously. Raina has just been such a shining light in my life, not just with the podcast, but she's just so unbelievably encouraging all the time. And I have no idea how she has so much energy, but she does. And she has a kid. I don't. And she wins the energy game for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think those three women are incredibly, you know, I owe them a lot. But then, you know, Davey and Krista and Natalie all are people, and Huey too, but Huey's like me. He's like very quiet. And so, but I think the four of them over there are huge. They've had a huge influence in my life as well. Just, you know, taking a chance on me and letting me do some of the first webinars the first webinar and first two webinars. I don't know what it was now, but anyway, working with them and doing those kinds of webinars with the Rising Tide Society, just taking that chance on me, because up until that point, I'd only had like a blog post, but a couple blog posts out, and had talked to them at the conference and things like that. So I think all of those men and women are incredibly talented, incredibly, you know, just incredible leaders that are really good at showing up for their groups respectively. And now individually with Davey and Krista going their own way, I think they're going to continue to be an influence in mentoring and you know, designing people's companies, basically.
So I have to say and admit that like I first found you through the Rising Tide and the webinars that you did for them. And I was like amazed at what you were able to bring to the creative world and kind of make everything that you're doing not seem like scary or fluff or jargon or anything like that. So you did like an amazing job in those webinars. I have to just
pat
on the back for that. But I love that your influencers are not these people who have seen like massive success. Like There's no Marie Forleo. There's no Oprah. Like, these people are actually real people that you can relate to and actually meet without, you know, having to pay a big dollar sign to do it. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about, like, influencers being people outside of the industry. Yeah, so, I think it's... I mean, they're just as brilliant business people, mentors, designers as anybody else that's out there. I think, you know, a couple other people have just gotten, like, honestly, I don't think there's a difference between Marie Forleo and anybody else that's starting a coaching business that's been doing it for a couple of years. She just was in the right place at the right time. And she had her, you know, she had her year, like, first of all, she had years and years and years of experience, not only doing coaching, but fitness training. So she had started and failed at so many different businesses. So I don't think there's any difference between someone who's running a coaching business for the last 2 years and Marie Forleo, except that she has a lot more experience. Mm-hmm. And she was in the right place at the right time. I do think that too.
Yeah. But what I liked about your answer though, is you don't see influencers as those big people. And that's where I was getting to, is like, you don't necessarily see the bigger names as being the end all be all influencers. It could be your business best friend has influenced you. It could be someone that you've worked with or a client. Like, that's what I loved about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not Marie Forleo. I don't ever desire to have a life like she has. You know, that's her own thing. Like, Todd Herman has a great thing going for him, but like, I don't want to be like him. Even Hillary Rushford, you know, like, all of these big internet quote unquote celebrities, if you want to call them that, or I don't know, maybe Marie has done more than that now with Oprah and everything, but I don't necessarily want to be like that. Like, I love where I live right now and I love my friends, and I just really want to just continue this as long as I can, and, you know, maybe have some kids one day, and, you know, like, I really, it's not that I don't have big dreams, you know, my partner and I would like to actually buy a sailboat and sail around the world, but at the same time, and that's actually happening. That's not like a weird, like, oh, one day we'll do that. But at the same time, like, I don't think I ever want to be, you know, some multimillionaire entrepreneur, if that makes any sense for people. People are like, why?
No, it does.
You know, more money, more problems. And I'd just like to have everything paid off and, like, have a happy life.
Yeah. No, it makes sense, because we've talked about it in a couple different episodes about success doesn't necessarily need to mean wanting $1 million or wanting the yacht in Miami on, like, the coast or whatnot. It actually is a personal definition. And when you start putting on the masks of what, like, everyone else wants, you kind of lose sight of what success actually means to you. So you always have to come back to that.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And I mean, I didn't talk about these two women, but these two could just as easily be on my influencers list. But Shanna Skidmore talks all the time about having enough. And it's a principle I use in not only my own business, but, you know, when I'm talking to people, and I always give her credit, but she has this concept of just, you just need enough. You don't need a 6-figure business. You don't need a 7-figure business. You don't need, you know, 10 clients. You just need enough for what you want to do. And she's such a great example of this. She puts her money where her mouth is. And, you know, enough for her is what she's doing right now, which is taking a 3-month sabbatical. No, sorry, a 6-month sabbatical. She launched a course in July. That was her last launch. It's running on autopilot. She did the work up front. And now she's taking off through December, and she'll be back at it in next January. So, like, that's enough for her. And that's, you know, that's great. And I think another one that is a good example of that is Callie Murray, who founded The Big Fake Wedding. I love her to pieces. She's a great example of this as well. I mean, she's like she has a huge heart for helping other people, volunteering, giving very generously of her time and money. And, you know, that's what's enough for her, is supporting her family and being able to support other people in her business.
No, I think that all of your examples are fabulous. And I think that that's truly speaking to the heart of what we are hoping to accomplish with this podcast, is to really show people that success can be measured in so many different ways, and that you need to truly define what it is for yourself, and that it doesn't have to have a dollar sign attached to it. It can be a certain type of lifestyle or freedom that you have, or, like, for me, being here for my kids. It's measured in all sorts of different ways, and you just need to be able to know what that is for yourself and what enough is, and not really strive for that dollar sign at the end of the day. So, to end things and mix things up a bit, if you were on an island and could only bring 3 things, what would you bring?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I would definitely bring, I am obsessed with La Vanilla's deodorant. I have a thing, guys. Like, if I have a soapbox issue, it's don't use aluminum-based deodorants. They're, like, really bad for you. And, I mean, don't listen to the mainstream media. They're going to give you Alzheimer's. Stop using them. So I would bring my La Vanilla deodorant, which smells way amazing. I would bring coffee because I am legit addicted. I'm glad that's not, like, a drug that people recognize as a drug, because it definitely is. And, I mean, is there food on this island? Because I need food. I eat constantly. So I would at least need some food. Yeah.
Okay.
You could bring a never-ending supply of, like, your favorite food from, like, your favorite restaurant that just keeps rotating once the plate's done.
Oh, my gosh. Then cupcakes. I'll live, like, 10 years and die from heart disease. But I love cupcakes. I just made them over the weekend with cream cheese frosting. They were amazing.
Oh.
It was super easy. Yeah, just go to, seriously, guys, go out to Michael's or Joann's or wherever your craft store is and get, like, a cake decorating kit. It's the most fun you'll have all year, I promise.
I leave that to my husband because he's a creative genius in the kitchen. If you haven't seen it, my gosh, he's crazy when it comes to that stuff. But I have to say that your answers are, like, the most practical answers that we've gotten. I mean, you chose deodorant, coffee, and food.
I'll bring a Gucci purse. And I don't even know. I'm trying to make things up and they're ridiculous. I don't even know.
Well, Nicole brought Wi-Fi with her. I don't know how it's going to work, but she brought it with her.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I bring a plane and a survival kit. No, just kidding.
Well, we had so much fun talking with you today. Thank you so much for being on. For all of our listeners, you guys can go to the beautifullyboldpodcast.com for all of the show notes and resources from this episode. And to continue the conversation, you guys can go to the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group, where we'll be talking about all of the fun, good things from this episode this week. Thank you so much, Christina. We had so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.